Clerk will call a case, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'd like to first reserve 5 minutes rebuttal time. May it please the Court, Deputy Public Defender Phyllis Hironaka arguing on behalf of William Edward Worley. Mr. Worley respectfully requests that this Honorable Court vacate his OVUII judgment, that being operating a vehicle under the influence of an intoxicant, and reverse his conviction. Defendant Worley is entitled to this relief because his conviction, based on a fatally unreliable blood alcohol test result, rests on proof of less than all elements beyond a reasonable doubt in violation of his rights to due process. Defendant's blood alcohol test result was fatally unreliable because the state failed to establish the three prongs in Montalvo. Those three prongs are the validity of the underlying scientific principle, the validity of the technique applying that principle, and number three, the proper application of the technique on a particular occasion. Turning to the first Montalvo prong, the state failed to establish the validity of the underlying scientific principle. Dr. Clifford Wong, the toxicology lab director for CLH, Clinical Laboratories of Hawaii, that did the testing on the blood specimen, was qualified as an expert in toxicology, which we concede is the appropriate field. However, no questions were ever put to him. He was never asked to state what the underlying scientific principle was that was used to test the blood alcohol, nor to establish that it was a valid scientific principle. Instead, the state put on John Tsuchida, whose title was Licensed Medical Technologist for CLH. He was, Dr. Wong was his supervisor. He was not qualified with regard to toxicology, but instead he was qualified as an expert as to the results. Defendant Worley submits that that qualification is basically not worth anything. It only presumably qualifies him to read off the number or whatever it was that appeared on the machine that did the test, but it doesn't validate anything that was done. Mr. Tsuchida was not qualified in toxicology because, as he said, and all my references are to the June 27, 2007 transcript page numbers, that at page 73, he knows how to operate the machine, follow the manufacturer's procedures, and read the results. He relied on the internal workings of the machine at page 72. He couldn't explain how the machine actually does its analysis, again, pages 72 and 73, and he admitted that he had no postgraduate education in the toxicology area. He was an alcohol analyst, pursuant to Title 11, Chapter 114-20. An alcohol analyst is, under that subsection, is required to perform alcohol testing of blood and other substances, use testing procedures approved by the department, and number three, keep records. We would submit that that is analogous to an intoxilizer operator in the breath alcohol testing context. And if you look at 114-10, intoxilizer operators have similar requirements, that they are responsible for performing the breath alcohol tests and for record keeping. With regard to the underlying scientific principle, the state moved on and asked Mr. Tsuchida what method of blood analysis he uses to analyze blood specimens. And his first response at pages 67 to 69 was, it's called radiative energy attenuation, which in the briefing process we abbreviated down to REA. And he says, it's an enzymatic reaction. He was asked to explain that enzymatic method a little bit more, and he came out with what Mr. Worley can only describe as an extremely confusing, unenlightening description of what this scientific principle or what this procedure is. He was trying to hurry, I believe. He says, okay, I'll give it a real brief one. It's actually, essentially what happens is the alcohol is, the ethanol is mixed with the ADH, and by ways of alcohol dehydrogenase, the enzyme is converted over to a color change. What happens is a color change happens in the presence of a fluorescence for a stable fluorescent substance, and what happens to the color change, the more intense the color change, the less fluorescence. It's going to attenuate the fluorescence of the color that's measured at the end. So what's actually measured is a fluorescence of the stable of the substance. So that basically, Mr. Worley contends, clarified nothing. It doesn't explain how the principle works, what happens, or why certain reactions or responses indicate presence of alcohol. It was not helpful. A little bit further down, at pages 69 to 70, again, he was asked whether he studied about the enzymatic method, and he mentioned a phrase, Beer's Law, and then he explained that to be what is the color change and reaction to the concentration of substance. Again, Defendant Worley submits that this doesn't clarify or explain anything. We don't know what the underlying scientific principle was, much less that it was valid. In conclusion, as to the failure to prove the Montalvo prong one, we would submit that the validity of the underlying scientific principle was not established, and certainly was not established by somebody who was qualified to testify about it by background and experience.
So your argument, at least partially, is that Mr. Tsuchida was not qualified to give these opinions with respect to underlying scientific principle?
That's correct. I mean, first we're stating that he didn't really describe what principle, because he threw around a number of principles. He talked about the REA, he talked about Beer's Law, and he mentioned a number of scientific terms, none of which were defined or described.
He seems to say Beer's Law is a scientific principle. Is that?
I think you'd have to intuit that, but he wasn't directly asked that, and he didn't state that. It wasn't something explicit, and neither was there any connection made between whether, for example, REA was related to Beer's Law, was one a subset of the other, you know, in the nature of like a lesser included. It wasn't clarified, and so again, we would submit that the evidence of that was not established. On a related matter, the REA, Beer's Law, the enzymatic method, whatever any of those principles, were not approved by the DUI coordinator as required by Title 11, Section 114-22. In the blood and other bodily substances testing subchapter, it requires that only those alcohol testing procedures which have been approved in writing by the DUI coordinator shall be used. And again, the state presented no evidence that the DUI coordinator approved this particular or these particular scientific methods. Since this scientific principle had a direct bearing on the accuracy of the test result, because there's no really virtually no other way to tell whether or not the test result was accurate, under State versus Kemper, Defendant Worley submits that the state was required to strictly comply with 11-114-22. The state, in its briefing, claimed, and Worley submits erroneously, that where DOH approved the blood alcohol testing method, that the state need not show Montalvo compliance with Montalvo prong number one or prong number two, prong number two being the validity of the technique applying the principle. And Defendant Worley cites to three different grounds or three different areas where we distinguish or we differ and dispute the state's contention. First is that in the briefing, the state relied on the cases of State versus Lother and State versus Tengon. First of all, those two cases are distinguishable because they deal with the reliability of breath testing instruments. So this is in the intoxilizer arena, the breath alcohol testing, not in blood or other bodily substances. Under Title 11, 114-2, in Tengon, Tengon stated that for breath alcohol testing instruments, the DOH, there was a requirement that DOH approve all breath testing instruments. Interestingly, there is no counterpart in the blood and other bodily substances, that would be subchapter 3, that the DOH approve any specific testing instrument, and so that is something that wasn't met, and that would have, had there been something like that, it might have helped the state in showing that the axiom or the instrument that was used in this case was a valid approved instrument for testing
Are you arguing
license.
That the instrument has to be approved? Instrument used in this test?
No, if they comply with Montalvo, that would be covered under it. But what I'm saying is that in kind of analogizing to or comparing with the breath alcohol testing area, the breath alcohol testing area specifically approves, you know, written approval by DOI coordinator of a certain breath instrument, and that satisfies the reliability prongs.
You're saying there's no comparable requirement in the blood testing area.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And so in Tengon, the court deemed a letter from Department of Health that approved and actually gave specific approval of the intoxilizer 4011AS, that was sufficient to show the reliability. When Lothar then decided its case, it held that the effect of the Tengon decision was to satisfy that reliability prong. Defendant Worley submits that holding of Lothar should apply really only to the intox area. And that makes sense for the intox area breath alcohol testing because they are testing only for a single substance, that being alcohol, in a single type of specimen, that being in breath samples, and using a single type of instrument or an instrument that was specifically approved by DOH, that being the intox 4011AS. If you look at the title of HAR Title 11, Subchapter 2 is entitled Breath Alcohol Testing and deals specifically with that area. Subchapter 3 is entitled Testing of Blood and Other Bodily Substances. So it's a much more general subchapter. And so to answer Justice Acoba's question, I think that's why they didn't have I'm only supposing here that that's why they didn't have a specific subsection in here that says, you know, a particular instrument must be approved by DOH. Blood and other bodily substances would indicate that chapter would cover, for example, saliva testing, urine testing, DNA testing, skin samples. I mean, the list could go on and on. And so, of course, you can't specify what particular testing method, principle, should be used for any of those substances because they're different, and also what method or instrument could be used to test for them because, again, they're different. And so what might apply as a valid testing instrument for, say, skin or hair samples, DNA samples, might not apply to alcohol samples. The second area where defendant Worley believes that the state felt that they made their proof of a valid method was by presenting its exhibit number 7, which was the 10-12-2005, October 12-2005, license update. It was their state's exhibit 7. That, again, Worley disputes that is an approval by DOH of a specific testing method for CLH, the Clinical Laboratories of Hawaii. What that October 12-05 license update says is that it's a license. It gives CLH permission to do blood alcohol testing. And it says, I quote, to conduct blood alcohol testing in accordance with Hawaii Administrative Rules Chapter 114. So basically it gives them permission, but it doesn't verify or guarantee that whatever testing the lab does on a particular occasion is in compliance with the Lothar prongs. So, yes.
In other cases, when they've used other instruments, is evidence submitted that the DOI coordinator approved the particular testing procedure?
In other blood alcohol testing cases?
Yes.
I can't tell you.
Okay.
I'm only familiar with the facts of Mr. Worley's case.
So what could be done in this case, assuming that the license issued to CLH is insufficient to show that the DOI coordinator approved the testing procedure in this case? How could the prosecution prove that would the DUI coordinator have to come to court every time?
I'm going to presume that there is a written document where the DUI coordinator said that this, that, or the other testing method is an approved method.
In other cases, for other methods.
For example, in DUI coordinator's records somewhere that he or she has probably gone through a list of different types of testing methods and said, you know, this one works, you know, this one's too, you know, unestablished, etc. And so they probably, again, I'm sort of speculating here that there must be a list of methodologies that the DUI coordinator has said are acceptable for blood alcohol testing. Setting aside the whole issue of what we now have with confrontation and the Melendez-Diaz, et cetera, originally, I think the state would have been able to bring a certified document from, you know, with the DUI coordinator's written approval of X or Y methodology, presented that in evidence like they did with this license update, and that would have established it.
Thank you.
Somebody made, or you made reference to 114-18 that says whoever's license has to use procedures approved in writing by the DUI coordinator. So is that what you're referring to?
Yes, the license update, the 10-12-05 update, says, the next sentence I was going to read was, licensure is based on having fulfilled the requirements of 114-18. And 114-18, B in particular, goes through sort of a checklist of things that that the lab has to show in order to qualify for licensure. One of the arguments that I understood the state to be making in its briefs was that since the lab complied with those requirements of 118B, that constituted an approval that they were following the proper methods. And again, Mr. Worley disagrees with that because, again, if you give somebody a license to do something, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that they're going to follow the proper procedures.
114-18 contemplate what you referred to, some written document signed off by the DUI coordinator that this particular procedure, whether it's REA or REA, is appropriate. Is that what you are arguing, that there has to be some kind of written document?
Either written document or testimony that this procedure was approved by the DUI coordinator. Because if we're getting into scientific evidence, which is very technical as this is, you can't look at a blood specimen and determine whether it has alcohol in it or not. I mean, a sort of common man test.
The argument the state makes is that the approval of these procedures is subsumed under the license, which is granted to CLH.
I believe
so
that.
What's your response to that?
That's the argument that the state made. And my argument is that just because CLH got a license to do certain kinds of testing is not proof that they complied with the testing in the particular case. They have the ability to because they satisfy the requirements. Like for example, with getting a driver's license, you demonstrated to the tester that you can drive on the proper side of the road and you can obey the traffic signals, etc. But the fact that you have a driver's license doesn't guarantee that you're not speeding on a particular occasion or that you didn't, disregard the red traffic light.
They also seem to argue that once they submit the license in evidence, then the burden shifts to you to challenge whatever procedures were followed or the validity of the scientific principle. Is that?
Again, returning to my original position, which is that I disagree that the license update satisfies that burden. I guess as defense, I would have a problem with shifting the burden to the defendant to show a lack of compliance. Although I understand that if the state did come up with that evidence, that's probably what he would be in the position of having to show that something wasn't done properly. But we're at the beginning stage here, where although the license update was submitted, it did not meet even the basic qualifications to show that a valid scientific principle was used or that the particular technique that applied this principle was used or approved. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Finally, again, going back to that license update, the last line in it says that John Tsuchida was specifically qualified to perform blood alcohol analyses in accordance with 114-20. But again, as with my arguments as to 114-18 and basically the fact of licensure itself, Just the fact that Mr. Tsuchida was qualified to perform the alcohol analyses doesn't mean necessarily that he used the approved procedures, or that he used the technique applying the particular procedures. So, in conclusion, as to that particular aspect, the fact that CLH was licensed basically does not prove Montalvo Principle Number One, or and there's a carryover to Montalvo Two because we're already talking about the axiom. The third piece of evidence that was submitted but was not really argued was the substance abuse testing license, which was State's Exhibit 10. Defendant Appellant Worley submits that that piece of evidence should not even have been admitted because it was completely irrelevant. SX10, State's Exhibit 10, was a substance abuse, not a blood alcohol testing license. It was issued pursuant to Chapter 329B, which has to do with substance abuse testing, and pursuant to HAR Title 11, Chapter 113, which also has to do with substance abuse testing. So it's in a different arena. And interestingly, HRS Section 329B-2.5 specifically says this chapter does not apply to, number two, tests for alcohol under Chapter 291, and OBUII is an offense under Chapter 291. So this license, the substance abuse testing license, besides being irrelevant, really had nothing to do with Mr. Worley's case and should not have been considered by the court. Nonetheless,
acknowledges that, doesn't it? But it says that it goes to proving, I'm not sure, the validity of the instrument or the validity of the REA method. I may be incorrect. Is that what they argue?
I'm not sure exactly what the state's position was with regard to what Your Honor is asking, but I would submit that if they're saying that, you know, it shows that ADH is a valid method, the DOI coroner may have approved the ADH method for substance abuse testing, but we needed something to show that the method was approved for the blood alcohol testing.
I think they indicate that that's what it's for. That's why they submitted that evidence. But the only difference between 113 and 114 are some privacy issues.
I mean, and that may be, that well may be, I'm not contesting that. But nonetheless, since the Chapter 329B specifically excludes, it doesn't validate the blood alcohol testing for the DUI arena, Defendant Worley would submit that license was irrelevant to the proof in his case. And it does appear that that's the only document that really kind of connected the dots for the court. So again, we would submit that the entry of that document into evidence was not harmless error because there was no other evidence showing that the REA or the ADH enzyme method was the method that was employed in this particular case. Turning to the second Montalvo prong, which would be validity of the technique applying the scientific principle, Defendant Worley submits that the state failed to establish that the axiom used the blood alcohol testing procedure approved by the DUI coordinator, whatever that testing procedure was. In order to establish that, Defendant Worley submits that the state should have brought an Abbott technician or some other qualified expert who could say that this particular machine uses the REA or the ADH enzyme method, etc. In the alternative, looking only to the practical side of it, Dr. Wong could have been given training because he had that toxicological background to understand how the Abbott axiom worked. And since the axiom was in his lab, it would make sense that he would be sort of the proper person to get that training. Mr. Tsuchida clearly was not qualified to state that the axiom applied the valid scientific principle. And again, harking back to pages 72 and 73, he said, "I have no personal knowledge about the internal mechanisms to explain how the axiom analyzes." With respect to the third Montalvo prong, proper application of the technique on a particular occasion, Worley first does not concede that the state established that Tsuchida's procedures constituted proper application of the valid scientific technique. Nonetheless, both he and Dr. Wong gave explanations for how this alcohol analysis was performed. And I see that I have 5 minutes, so I'm going into my rebuttal time. I'm going to try to finish up fairly quickly. Dr. Wong, at pages 29 to 30, described the procedure for alcohol analysis, how blood specimens were opened by the technician, etc. But again, similar to the kind of description that Mr. Tsuchida gave when he was talking about the scientific principle, it was not the type of explanation that a layperson or even a legal person could understand, somebody that didn't have the proper scientific background. And Mr. Tsuchida, at pages 83 to 85, explained initially, so you just put your sample on, make sure that you have your controls and your calibers on the machine, and you let them go and let them run, and it will spit out the results for you, and you make sure at the ends it is finished running. And then he went on to explain in more detail what he did, but again, many of the terms that he used were not clarified or were not explained, and so we would submit that explanation of how the blood analysis was done did not suffice. Finally, the most troubling was the extrapolation and the dilution techniques that Mr. Tsuchida used. Defendant Worley submits that an Abbott expert would need to have been brought to explain that if the sample is beyond what the machine can read, that these certain procedures should be followed. And it may be that dilution and extrapolation of the result are the correct procedures, but again, that wasn't established in this case, and so we would submit that the dilution and the extrapolation were not only techniques that didn't satisfy Montalvo, being valid scientific principles, if that, or the third Montalvo prong, that they weren't proper application of the procedure on a particular occasion.
Are you saying Tsuchida was not qualified to testify as to dilution and extrapolation?
He may have been, but the problem that defense has with that is that it wasn't shown that when the test specimen is above or is something that the Abbott can't read, that this is what you do. This is the right procedure to be followed. And so defendant Worley has a real problem with that because although it sounds logical, we really don't know if this is a valid procedure. In conclusion, the fatally unreliable blood alcohol result led to Worley's conviction on less than all elements beyond a reasonable doubt. And absent that test result, there was insufficient evidence to prove the DUI or the OVUII case. Thank you very much.
May it please the court. Justine Hira for the state of Hawaii. Your Honors, we're here today because the defense is stating that there was not substantial evidence to show that the blood test for William Worley was reliable. The state submits that it was, substantial evidence was introduced for that, and that the defendant's blood test could be relied upon as a substantive fact. The first issue seems to be whether there might be other procedures that clinical labs may have followed, although it's very clear that they were actually licensed and that they knew how to do a blood test under Chapter 11-114. That's very clear that they did have that ability. They were licensed to do that, and indeed they also were specifically approved to do blood alcohol testing under Chapter 11-114. In addition, under subsection B5, they clearly had an instrument or procedures that the Department of Health was satisfied would produce a reliable blood test result. However, the question seems to be whether there might have been some other procedures that were followed or something occurred that wasn't following those procedures. The state submits that substantial evidence was introduced in terms of the testimony of the live witnesses as well as the documentary evidence that there was but one procedure. The first place that the state turns to is obviously the rules, which are Chapter 11-114-18, which states that no laboratory shall perform alcohol tests pursuant to this subchapter without an alcohol testing laboratory license issued by the Department of Health. So Clinical Labs of Hawaii could not have performed a blood alcohol test pursuant to Chapter 11-114 without having had a license from the Department of Health. The subsection that is covered by that license is that the Clinical Labs of Hawaii met the various subsections, one of which was that they used alcohol testing procedures approved in writing by the DUI coordinator. So they could not have performed a test under Chapter 11-114 without using alcohol testing procedures as approved in writing by the DUI coordinator. The second thing we know is that there was a license that was, in fact, issued to Clinical Labs of Hawaii. The third thing that we know is that Dr. Wong testified as to the procedure. And the question that was posed by the deputy prosecuting attorney was, on page 29, and again, I'm referring to the same transcript that defense counsel referred to, which is the June 27, 2007 transcript. On page 29, the question posed by the deputy prosecuting attorney was, could you briefly describe the procedure by which blood samples would be analyzed for alcohol content? Dr. Wong did not say, we have several different kinds of procedures. There's this one, and this one. He said, he went on to describe the procedure. So from this, we know that there is one procedure. In addition, John Tsuchida's testimony was, he was posed the following question. What method of blood analysis do you use to analyze blood samples for the purpose of determining blood alcohol content? And he went on to describe the radiative energy attenuation, basically the ADH enzymatic method. And although he answers that question saying it's the radiative energy attenuation, he goes on to describe that uses the ADH enzymatic method. And it's clear that what he means is that method. So from these four pieces of evidence and basically the rules and the evidence, we can conclude there is just one procedure that Clinical Labs of Hawaii could have followed and did follow.
The REA procedure was authorized by the DUI coordinator. Mm-hmm. Is the defense permitted to still challenge the reliability of the REA method?
Under State v. Lothar, they are. That is.
And so, can they attack the foundation for that?
They can attack the foundation for that by the usual methods, which are cross-examination, presenting their own expert witness. All of the usual methods are at their disposal. There is just a prima facie, basically. Once the state submits evidence as to the reliability, whether that's through Department of Health approval or by meeting all of the Montalvo factors, certainly the defense is able to go in and try to assail the reliability of that technique. The question is whether they did so, and on these bases.
The license itself is enough to subsume the reliability of the scientific principle and the reliability of the method followed and the application of that method or that scientific principle in the method followed?
Well, what the license subsumes is the looking to State v. Lothar specifically and analogizing from there, basically where the Department of Health approves a particular instrument, or in this case, procedures, which under Chapter 11-114-18, There's actually a requirement that the Department of Health approve the procedure, so there is a comparative statute or a comparative rule that is analogous to the approval of the instruments under
You would have to at least meet that threshold.
Meet the threshold of having Department of Health approval.
And what evidence was there of Department of Health approval?
Well, the Department of Health approval was presented in the terms of the license, which was State's Exhibit Number 7. And additionally, there was, and I can also go on to...
There wasn't any evidence of any written document saying the REA method is an acceptable method for alcohol testing.
Thank you, Your Honor. No, actually, there is also the State's Exhibit Number 10, which specifically approves the ADH enzyme method and for specifically blood alcohol testing. And the state submits that the ADH enzymatic method is what John Tsuchida is testifying about in his testimony regarding the basically his description of what was the method that he used. He started talking about the radiation.
What about the provision referred to that says that chapter is not to be used for alcohol testing or for DUI testing?
That is, in fact, the case, but there's also the provision that even if there isn't, basically, State's Exhibit Number 10 is evidence, and it is relevant evidence in terms of the reliability of the procedure used. And that is that when the clinical labs of Hawaii used that procedure, it was a reliable procedure, and it was a procedure approved by the Department of Health. Although the state submitted a document which was under Chapter 11-113, it was still a document that showed the Department of Health's approval of that technique. It's
approved for testing under 329?
It's approved for testing under the workplace, basically, drug testing.
And it expressly, the chapter expressly excludes use of, that method for DUI testing?
Thank you, Your Honor. No, it's what it is Chapter 11-113 has privacy protections that are not required of criminal cases where defendants are being tested. Obviously, in a workplace drug testing situation, a person who's applying for a job goes into a room. They have certain privacy protections. Also,
Contain that express exclusion that was referred to by counsel.
Does Chapter 11-113 contain the exclusion that it's...
Either that or 329.
Yes, I believe it does.
How do you get around that?
The state submits that it's that the Chapter 11-113 is saying that that basically the privacy protections and the additional rules that are under Chapter 11-113 are that those rules do not have to be followed in order to obtain a specimen from criminal defendants. So that's the purpose of having two separate chapters. It's not the reliability of the instruments or procedures that are used. It's actually saying that in criminal cases that the police or the, do not have to follow all the privacy protections that are required under 11-113. It doesn't go to the reliability. It doesn't say that testing procedures that are approved under 113 are therefore disallowable under 114, and in fact, 114 contains a provision saying that any relevant evidence that would be admissible under the Hawaii Rules of Evidence is admissible. That basically strict compliance with 114 is not required to meet to have admissible evidence for.
Lofer seems to say even if there is approval of a certain, in that case, I guess, the intoxilizer, that the reliability of that machine can still be tested in a DUI case. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the reliability, despite the fact that we assume that you can still use 329 despite the express exclusion, the fact that the ADH enzyme method is approved still means that you have to establish the reliability in a DUI case. Is that correct?
Yes, but Department of it's assailable, but it has to be assailed. Once there is basically a the state is produces evidence that the Department of Health approved of something.
Reliability then is a matter of evidence.
Reliability is a matter of meeting basically those three prongs, and those two of the first prongs can be met by submitting a document of approval from the Department of Health.
So the Department of Health's approval aside, you still have to meet the, I guess it would be, and I don't recall specifically the words of the evidentiary rules, but 702 and I guess 703 that pertain to expert testimony.
The state does have to follow the rules of Hawaii, the Hawaii rules of evidence.
And
yes.
So if you do that, you need to establish the reliability of this test.
That's correct.
Under those evidentiary rules.
That's correct, Your Honor. But at the same time, those prongs can be met by a document such as the approval from the Department of Health.
So the burden is on you to show the reliability of the underlying principle, scientific principle, the methodology, and the application of the principle to the method.
That's correct, but those can be met by an approval from the Department of Health. So yes, the burden is on the state to establish reliability. Well, anytime a proponent of the evidence is trying to establish scientific introduce scientific evidence, the proponent of the evidence has the burden of establishing reliability.
Ms. Hira, are there different types of enzyme tests?
I'm sure in the world there are.
But if there are different types of enzyme tests, and we know that the license, this CLH, is licensed to use an ADH enzyme test, how do we know that the ADH enzyme test is the REA one that was performed in this case?
Well, I believe that ADH is the enzyme. So that is the specific enzyme that was used. Viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to the prosecution, which is what is the standard on appeal, the testimony of John Tsuchida indicates that the REA actually is a the ADH enzyme test is the ADH enzyme method is actually the way that the ADH enzyme method works is that basically the relationship is expressed as REA. That is the what happens as a result of that enzymatic reaction. From what I was able to understand from the testimony is that what happens as a result of adding the alcohol dehydrogenase to alcohol is that basically a color change occurs in the presence of a fluorescent, and the more alcohol there is, the more color change there will be, and the less fluorescent will be visible to the instrument. And the instrument is reading that over time, and at the end of that, it produces a result, and it also the result indicates the results of the controls as well to make sure that the instrument is functioning properly. And at that point, the analyst will analyze the results. And so it appears at the end that John Tsuchida is saying that it produces a graph, actually, that has to be interpreted by the technician. So
Tsuchida says that the REA is an enzyme test.
He states that it uses ADH enzyme. I believe that's on page 68. Pardon me. Let me find that. Pardon me. I think that's... So on 68, he says, I will give it a real...
Where? Page what?
Page 68.
68, okay.
Yes. He says, in response to, can you explain the method, the enzymatic method? He says, I will give it a real brief one. It's actually, essentially what happens is, the ethanol is mixed with ADH, and by ways of alcohol dehydrogenase, the enzyme, is converted over to a color change. And what happens is a color change happens in the presence of a fluorescent, for a stable fluorescent substance. And what happens is the color change, the more intense the color change, the less fluorescence. It's going to attenuate the fluorescence of the color that's measured at the end. So what's actually measured is the fluorescence of the stable or of the substance. So,
and by the prosecution's question using the instead of ah, you're going to infer that there's only one test that's an ADH enzyme test, and that's the REA test?
The state is submitting that that is one aspect of it. It's also corroborated by Dr. Wong's testimony, which is that when he's posed the question on page 34 of the transcript.
Were Wong or Tsuchida ever asked if there was any other test type of test given?
In the testimony at trial, no. But on page 34, he is asked, I believe it's 34. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the licensing. On page 29, pardon me. On page 29, he's asked, could you briefly describe the procedure by which blood samples would be analyzed for alcohol contents? And at this point, the question is, could you briefly describe the procedure by which blood samples would be analyzed for alcohol contents? There's no indication in this testimony that there's more than one method, that they use, they have different methods for different purposes. For the question is simply, what is the procedure by which blood samples would be analyzed for alcohol contents? And he goes on to describe what the basic procedure is. And the fault of this transcript is just that Dr. Wong gives a very, very layman's overview of what happens, and John Tsuchida goes into much more detail. But if you read page 29 to 30, and compare that to John Tsuchida's testimony, these two testimonies do fit together. It's clear from that, as well as John Tsuchida's testimony, that there is one method. And in addition, the lab could not have done a test pursuant to Chapter 11-114 without having had Department of Health approval. So those are basically, and that the lab was licensed. And so those four things indicate, the state submits that those indicate that there is just one testing procedure. No, there is no evidence on the record, nor was any evidence presented or suggested except in argument by defense counsel, basically on appeal, that there's more than one method or that there's some question about which method was used. So
the state's burden to prove the reliability or the general acceptance of the scientific principle.
Is it the state's burden to prove, in this case, the state was submitting scientific evidence, and therefore as the
general acceptance.
Of general acceptance. The proponent of the evidence who's proposing the use of...
anybody ask any of these, well, at least Dr. Wong, is this principle or whatever the principle is generally accepted in the scientific community and reliable?
John Tsuchida is asked that question.
Asked about, well, John Tsuchida is an alcohol analyst. So is he qualified to give that opinion?
Well, he was qualified to do the analysis. And
my question is he
yes.
qualified to give that opinion?
Yes.
How was he qualified to give that opinion?
He, the state laid the foundation that, I'm sorry, I'm at the end of my time. The state laid the foundation that John Tsuchida was qualified by virtue of his education, his experience. He's done...
He had a bachelor's and he had work experience in the lab. That was it.
He did. However, that's different from, for example, an intoxilizer test where a police officer receives on-the-job training of a, I think it's part of a 40-hour course during which time...
Dr. Wong, excuse me, have been an appropriate person to give an opinion as to the general acceptance of that scientific principle?
The scientific principle... the state submits was established by State's Exhibit Number 10. Dr. Wong could testify probably to
that document said it is generally accepted in the scientific community as being reliable.
If the Department of Health approves it, that would be an indication that
it is. Is that the same thing?
It's not the same thing, but it is the equivalent in terms of admissibility.
Where is there any authority that says approval by the Department of Health of a licensing laboratory establishes that the ADH principle or something like it is generally accepted in the scientific community as being reliable, as evidence to be submitted as foundation.
The Department of Health, that seems to be the basic underlying principle of State v. Lothar and State v. Tangan, that is that the Department of Health is charged with the authority to approve and establish uniform testing testing techniques.
Lothar said, despite the fact that the Department of Health approved of the machine, that it still its reliability still could be challenged in court.
It can, but the language is that St. E. Lothar says that the instrument or the methods used are not unassailable. However, they need to be assailed by the opponent of the evidence.
They tied it to due process, didn't they? It's a little stronger than that.
St. E. Lothar is a criminal case, so that's what the court decided, and therefore the court must have been comfortable with the due process, that due process was met by having that holding. In summary, Your Honors, I apologize for going over my time. Basically, what defense is proposing at this point is that somehow a laboratory that we know is licensed by the state of Hawaii, by the Department of Health, that has instruments and that basically has a procedure that is approved by the Department of Health, that has licensed and certified individuals working in it, that basically, the testimony and the evidence indicate there's only one method that they use, that somehow this there's an ambiguity that exists, and that ambiguity is fatal, that somehow there must be other methods or other instruments that John Tsuchida, who has done 1,500 tests, who has basically who is certified in the particular instrument that he was using, who does have the educational background. He did testify to the underlying principle. He testified that although he doesn't know the circuitry of that instrument, that he his training experience indicate that that instrument is a valid application of the underlying scientific principle, and who testified that he was trained in how to perform that test, and that and then his subsequent testimony was that he performed that test properly, that despite all of this, that somehow there must be another procedure that could have been followed, that John Tsuchida would walk into a room and say, instead of using the Department of Health-approved instrument, that I'm going to use this other instrument, which may or may not be reliable. And that's essentially the question that defense counsel is posing on appeal. And the state submits that the evidence viewed in light most favorable to prosecution indicates that the evidence was reliable. Thank you.
How much time do we have left for Mr. Anano?
In brief response, Your Honor, we would submit that the state is asking this court to sort of intuit and rationalize backwards to come up with a conclusion that it wants to come up with, which is that, for example, by considering the license update and considering the irrelevant substance abuse testing license and putting together Tsuchida and Wong's testimony, which the state alleges fit together but defense submits, actually it's extremely confusing testimony that unless you have that kind of scientific background, it doesn't make any sense. But to put all these things together and to conclude that there was only one testing method, that the state used that testing method, that it wouldn't have gone outside the license that it was given, and so therefore the test is reliable. But again, as stated in my application for writ of cert, as well as in the briefs, the puzzle pieces did not fit together, so to establish that the test result was reliable. And so on that, I will rest and ask that Mr. Worley's conviction be vacated. Thank you.
Thank you to both counsel. The court will take this matter under advisement.